But the idea, I want to encourage us today to pray. And, you know, some of the reasons that we're fasting in this upcoming week is that we want to be more intentional. We want to be more intentional with how we spend our time, how we spend our time praying, how we focus in on the Lord. Be more intentional. Have our prayers be more focused. Why are we praying? We're just not just coming to Him because we're in trouble and having a hard time financially or whatever it is. But we want to come to Him because we love Him. If we don't have that kind of desire and love and want to be in His presence, then that's a good starting point. Hey, Lord, I don't have this. I want to have this. Let's build this relationship together. And, you know, for distractions to be removed, that's one of the things during this time of fasting where we're emptying ourselves of distractions. You know, sometimes food can be a real big distraction. I don't know about other people there, but I like to eat, you know, and it's something fun. And it's very easy for me to kind of just like, I don't have to think about anything else. I'm just going to go grab me a really cool snack and eat that right now. Well, one of those things now is rather than eating this snack or saying, you know what, I'm setting this aside. Lord, I want You more than I want this food. And so that's something that we're trying to do as well. And so mainly that we can connect with our Creator in a deeper and more intimate way and move forward in the joy of our salvation. So the message title today is When We Pray. And what I hope to be able to communicate to some degree is the undeniable importance that the role of prayer has in the life that we as Christians are called to live. It isn't a matter of if, but when we pray. So as Christians, we are called to be a people of prayer. So when we pray, God's promises are fulfilled when people of faith pray. Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened." So there you have it, just kind of a well-rounded promise from the Lord about prayer. Ask and it will be given to you. So, you know, what James talks about and I think about all the time, well, you have not because you ask not. Well, there's the first point. We have to ask. We have to seek to be able to find. We have the opening to engage with the Lord in prayer at any time and in any place. The idea with our time of fasting and prayer this week is that we'll empty ourselves to be able to receive from God. Emptying ourselves from, well, in the sake of a fasting, you're emptying yourself from food. There's going to be that pang of hunger and that desperation of, oh no, I've got to eat something or I'm going to spaz out. But that's where we say, you know, Lord, I need You. I need You. He wants to speak to us. He does want to speak to us. We've got to be able to listen. We've got to be able to hear. So this is going to help us tune our ears to be able to hear. You know, it's just like, you know, tuning your radio in. I mean, it can be the perfect broadcast of exactly what you need to hear. But if you're on the wrong frequency, you're not going to be able to tune it in. So it's time for us to be able to just tune into that frequency. You click in on that thing and be able to listen to the voice of the Lord. It requires us to be focused. So He wants to give us a deeper revelation of Himself. He wants us to know Him, to understand Him, to experience Him. He wants us to walk with Him. So that's something that we're going to be able to do in that place of prayer, is to be able to have Christ reveal Himself to us in a deeper way. Who is He? Who are we in Him? Who are we because of Him? He wants us to know Him. He wants us to experience Him, and He wants us to love Him with all of our hearts as He loves us. And that's a tall order right there, but that is His desire and something that supernaturally in us He is able and capable to do. A.W. Tozer said, "Praying till we pray." This was a message given many, many years ago. He says, "The habit of breaking off our prayers before we have truly prayed is as common as it is unfortunate. Often the last 10 minutes may mean more to us than the first half hour, because we must spend a long time getting into the proper mood to pray effectively. We may need to struggle with our thoughts to draw them in from where they've been scattered through the multitude of distractions that result from the task of living in a disordered world. Here, as elsewhere in spiritual matters, we must be sure to distinguish the ideal from the real. Ideally, we should be living moment by moment in the state of such perfect union with God that no special preparation is necessary. But actually, There are few who can honestly say that this is their experience. Candor will compel most of us to admit that we often experience a struggle before we can escape from the emotional alienation and sense of unreality that sometimes settles over us as a sort of prevailing mood. Whatever a dreamy idealism may say, we are forced to deal with things down on the level of practical reality. If when we come to prayer, our hearts feel dull and unspiritual, we should not try to argue ourselves out of it. Rather, we should admit it frankly and pray our way through. Some Christians smile at the thought of praying through, but something of the same idea is found in the writings of practically every great praying saint from Daniel to the present day. We cannot afford to stop praying until we've actually prayed. So as we enter this week of praying and fasting, I do want to encourage all of us, friends, to really seek the Lord in prayer. We should come to Him with faith. And if we find ourselves lacking faith, then that's a great place to start. Ask and it will be given to you. That's the first promise there in that verse that Jesus is saying to us. Lord, I lack faith. Give me faith to pray the way that you want me to pray, to be able to hear your voice and to be able to really enter in your presence tonight or today, whatever time of day it is that you're praying. By first asking him for the faith we need to pray effectively, this is going to open the door for us to really be able to engage with him. I know this, like if you've ever lost your keys or probably more recently, you know, lose your cell phone, you know, when you seek for those things, you really are stuck until you actually find them. So you seek. And then, okay, I was sitting on the couch. Well, I better dig through the cushions on the couch. Okay, it's not there. Where was I last? When did I last see this? When did I last use this? And, you know, you seek and you diligently seek and you ask around, hey, who's got my keys? Who's got my phone? Who's whatever? You know, and you keep looking and you keep seeking. It's not like, oh, well, I guess they're lost. No big deal. And I'll jump in my car and go anyway. You can't. We have to seek until we find, and we have to be diligent in doing that. And I think that's one of the things with the way that we pray. We can't just be nonchalant about it and just say, okay, I said my quick little, you know, 5 seconds worth of prayer and now I'm on my way. But really seek him and wait until we find him. And that's something I think to be said in that praying until we actually pray. There's a level of perseverance there. So it says, everyone who asks receives, whoever seeks finds, and the one who knocks and the one who knocks has the door opened for them. It's in prayer that we're able to overcome the temptations of the enemy and instead hear the voice and direction of God in our lives. Something always happens when we pray. Maybe we don't see the results right away. Maybe we don't even ever see them firsthand. But God is always at work when people pray. His power is exerted on the earth when his people pray. When we're in this room praying, or when we're at our home praying, or when we're driving in our car and praying, God is moving on our behalf. He hears us. I mean, this is amazing. I kind of think about, you know, sometimes wouldn't it be neat to talk to certain people who, you know, somebody famous, somebody you really, really admire. Wouldn't it be great to be able to talk to this person and, you know, maybe some, if you're a musician, maybe some famous musician, you really admire their songwriting style or their talent. Hey, I'd like to just touch bases with you and show me some of the stuff that you know. It would be awesome to engage with that person. Well, this is the person of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. We're able to engage with him, the creator of heaven and earth, the depths of everything, of all knowledge, of all life, of all experience, dwell in him. And we have the ability to engage with him in that. So this is the door that we're knocking on to be opened. And we need to persevere in that. It's in prayer that we're able to overcome temptations. So his power is exerted when his people pray. And the great moves of God that have taken place throughout history, they started with prayer. And so I shared this story probably about a year ago. But I'll share it again because I thought it was really interesting. It was a writing, Dr. A.T. Pearson. He once said that there has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer. And then he goes on to say, Bear with me one moment. He goes on to say that not many people realize that in the wake of the American Revolution, there was a moral slump. Drunkenness had become epidemic. Out of a population of 5 million, 300,000 were confirmed drunkards. They were burying 15,000 of them each year. Profanity was of the most shocking kind. For the first time in the history of the American settlement, women were afraid to go out at night for fear of assault. Bank robberies were a daily occurrence. The Chief Justice of the United States, John Marshall, at the time wrote to the Bishop of Virginia, James Madison, that the church was too far gone to ever be redeemed. And it sounds like something somebody might say today. The church is too far gone to ever be redeemed. Voltaire asserted this to be the case, and Tom Paine echoed, "Christianity will be forgotten in 30 years. How did this situation change? It came about through a concert of prayer. Christianity hasn't been forgotten. It hasn't been forgotten today, and 30 years from that point, it hadn't been forgotten. There was a great awakening that took place after this when people began to pray. And there are always times of turmoil in the world. The enemy is continually trying to tear down the kingdom of God. It's an everyday occurrence, and there's nothing new under the sun. We're seeing it today, all throughout the news, every single day, and we can think, oh no, this is the worst it's ever been. Where is God? We're losing the battle. You know, Christianity is going to be gone forever. Well, that calls us to be a people of prayer. That calls us to engage with Him and say, you know what? We're taking back the kingdom of heaven with force, and this is our weapon. This is our tool. This is the way that we're able to make this happen by engaging with the Lord and asking Him and seeking Him and finding Him. When the Lord spoke, okay, so here, the Lord spoke to Solomon. You know, they had just finished building the temple, and 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord promises this to Solomon, and He promises it to us. He says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive them their sin and will heal their land." So then later, just right after that, the Lord speaking to Solomon, telling him this in verse 15 and 16, the Lord continues saying, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I've chosen and consecrated this temple that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." This was fantastic. Now they had a place where they can actually go and engage with the Lord, a place where He's going to hear them, a place where His eyes are attentive to what they're doing. A place where God's presence was promised. So we're blessed today in the fact that we as believers have been chosen, consecrated, and ourselves have been made into God's temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 reminds us of exactly this. "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" Wow. It was really neat for them to have a temple and a place to go, but God's Spirit lives and dwells in with us. He's consecrated us unto Himself to be able to be His temple. So it's the work of praying Christians to build the kingdom of God, and it's through persistent prayer that the healing comes. We're talking about the healing of our land. We need to be in that place of really focusing in. We have the most powerful tool in the world. It's not, you know, sometimes you hear, well, all we can do is pray now. Well, that's all you could have ever done, but it is the most powerful thing you could have ever done. You don't need to get your machine gun or whatever else to go out and take out the man. You need to pray that that man would be saved, that he'd be rescued. You know, so many times you look at the evil in the world and you look at people and you realize they're just lost, deceived, blinded by the enemy, and they need to be rescued and saved. Lord Jesus Christ came and gave His own body in exchange for them already, just like He did for us. So He wants us to extend that grace, that love, that gospel to the lost and see the land healed. It isn't by the destruction of the enemy, it's by the salvation of the enemy. And that's what the gospel did. So the act of prayer accomplishes more than we can ever know. If we want to be a revolutionary people, we do need to be a people who pray. So when we incline our hearts to God in prayer, He responds. He's able to do what men, women, what human beings believe is impossible. We know from the Lord's Prayer that He taught us to pray that His kingdom would come here on earth. We know that He's able to deliver the one who's oppressed by the devil. The Bible tells us that God's will that no one should perish. So there you have it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." Everyone knows this one. Even most of your non-believer friends know this one. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That's pretty simple, pretty fundamental, kind of backs up the point that whatever evil is going on in this world, God wants to change the heart of those people. He wants to restore them. He wants to bring glory to himself through every circumstance. So when we see, you know, terrible wickedness and terrible evil, there is God on the other side of that, able to bring glory to himself, able to bring about a powerful testimony of what he's done. So many of us, you know, have our own stories of how we were lost and how we were found. Well, everybody does who's been saved. We were lost. We didn't know him. We despised him. We wanted to do our own things. And then he rescued and saved us. He changed us. He transformed us. He made us into a new creation. And that is his desire for this world. So since he's able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine, we know that he's able to bring revival to our country. So let's pray for our enemies. The quickest way to grow in God's love for someone who falls into this category is to pray for them. If there's past offenses or wrongs that have led to unforgiveness, praying for that person is one sure way to get free from that burden. How else are we going to be able to love our enemies? It's not something we have the ability in our hearts to do. We certainly can't do it in our own strength. So it's the place of prayer. And in that place of prayer, we're able to leverage the strength of God in our lives, who's able to work mightily through our weakness. And since he's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, we know that he's able to bring sight to the blind, that he can heal the paralytic, he's able to cast out demons, he's able to raise the dead, and he calls us to carry on the same work. It's the work of the believer. And this work starts in the place of prayer. We want to be believers. We want to act in that place that he's called us to be in. It starts in the place of prayer. Prayer must be a priority to Christians. So the activity of prayer, it says prayer is our primary business as Christians. So they're going back to that spreadsheet. I spend this much time sleeping, this much time at work. Well, work is a great place to pray. I don't know where, depending on where you work. I work with noisy machines and mundane tasks a lot of the day. Perfect time to pray. The white noise is a great backdrop for prayer. So our primary business, we make God secondary so many times. And if we decide to move forward with our lives in neglecting prayer, then that's exactly what we've done. We've made him secondary to whatever we've decided is primary. And I've heard so many people say this over the years that that winds up being idolatry. We're putting something ahead of him. Something else is more important than him. So he calls us to pray continually. Or better yet, he allows us to pray continually. Again, having made his temple and his dwelling within us, he allows us, and he allows us to include him in everything that we do, to give thanks in all things. And the quickest way to get over discouragement is to praise God and to give him thanks. You know, I think sometimes we tend to separate our lives into, this is what I do here. This is my spiritual component. Here's my real life. Here's my spiritual life. But God wants to be involved in every part of our lives. There isn't that distinction of one or the other. You know, as a people of prayer who are praying continually, it doesn't mean that I have to close my eyes and be on my knees. I can be in constant contact with the Lord. And Richard Warmbrandt says, "I found that joy can be acquired like a habit in the same way as a folded sheet of paper can falls back into the same fold. Prayer is the one thing that we always have available to us and the one thing that we're called continually to do." 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So be joyful always. Ooh. That's a lot of time, always. Pray continually. That's, again, a lot of time. And give thanks in all circumstances. Those are some hard tasks to accomplish. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is his will for us. So prayer doesn't require any special devices. It can be done anywhere, anytime. And it's the primary way by which we align ourselves to hear from God. Prayer is the way that we come close to him. It's the way that we develop our relationship with him. And God made himself available to us all hours of the day, 24/7. He is available to us. We have access to the king's throne room without the need for any kind of appointment. So the second part to all this is to be patient and listen for his reply. The fact that God saw fit to make this provision to let us know about the utter importance that prayer plays in the relational role of God and man. So what does the Bible mean when it says pray continually? So it says God's telling us that prayer is essential, to be joyful, to pray continually, give thanks in all things, and for this is God's will in you. He is wanting to be in constant contact with us. So if this is his will for us, then the lack of prayer is negligence in the Christian life. And our source of joy, again, is found in Christ. And we develop that joy when we develop our prayer life with him. Forming a habit of prayer will help carry us through the difficult times and will make us more effective witnesses of God's power in our lives. So the Lord showed me a picture. The other morning was in the men's prayer, 6:30 to 7:30 every morning, rain or shine, men's prayer. And the Lord showed me a picture the other day. And so here's what it was. Basically, it was two timelines. And in some ways, it was kind of like one of my favorite kind of sci-fi topics is parallel timelines. But here's what it was. The first line was on the bottom. It was the temporal timeline. He showed me that this is like the timeline. It's very short. It has a beginning and an end. So we were praying, actually. Stephen Enriquez was praying for persecuted Christians in other parts of the world. And the Lord showed me that so many times. Let's see, I'm kind of losing track. I better just read this exactly as how I wrote it, because otherwise I'm going to kind of get mixed up on it. So this was something. Okay, the Lord was showing me this timeline. He showed me that so many times I'm completely focused on this life and have no concept of anything else. It was the verse that we read that tells us to give thanks in all things that was coming to mind as we were thinking about the persecuted Christians in the world. It occurred to me that the Lord uses persecutions, he uses trials and tribulations, all types of troubles to cause us to look to him. In essence, he's taking away some of the glamour of this life so that we can begin to look to him for something more. It's like he's reaching down into our timeline where we're stuck in a ditch. He's hooking a winch to us and he's pulling us out. So many times all we can think about is that the discomfort of that hook and that discomfort of being pulled, the unpleasantness of that. But it's for the best. He wants us to be in that place of eternal joy with him, not worried about the cares of this world. So I thought that was a really cool picture to me. You got this timeline, has a beginning, has an end, but then there's this other timeline, eternity. That's the reality that he wants us to live in. But so many times we're stuck in this little finite, limited thing of our lives that we can't see the greater picture. And he wants to pull us out of that. He wants to extract us from that. And that's, you know, the trials, the have joy in all things. Well, if we can look at it that way, the Lord is trying to pull me away from something that can't satisfy. He's trying to take me out of something that has no future. It has an end, and that end is already marked. He already knows it. His eternity has no end, and his love has no end. So that's where he wants us to be pulled out. Kind of going back into sci-fi things, I love Star Trek, you know, most iterations of it. There have been some bombs throughout, but the original was really cool. Next Generation was really cool. But you think about sometimes, if you ever watch a show, if you haven't, then just bear with me. I'll try to explain the goodness of it. So they're in a ship. They're flying around. They come to some planet. They find out, okay, we've got to go down there for whatever reason. They have this prime directive that they can't intervene with societies that aren't advanced enough. So they can't just, give away the fact that there are people that live out in the stars. Anyway, so sometimes they'll go down to a planet. They'll send a landing party to do whatever. And so you think sometimes this landing party, they get hung up in civilian affairs down there. And maybe they wind up getting arrested because they broke some law that makes no sense. But here, all of a sudden, they broke this cardinal law down there on this new planet, and they're locked away. And that's always, to me, in those shows, so frustrating because it's so unfair. What does this law on this foreign planet have anything to do with them? Why should they be locked up? And then at some point then, of course, the ship's still out there orbiting the planet. And sometimes when, you know, after a lot of great drama and things like that, they're able to get a lock on them and extract them using the transportation device. So that's cool. And then justice has been restored. They're back and phew, they're away from this unjust thing. But that's us on this world getting hung up and stuck in civilian affairs, getting arrested by the enemy of our souls who ultimately has no authority over us. Our authority is way greater. It's out there. And here we are stuck in the muddle sometimes of this other planet. And it tells us, you know, here's the verse here, John 15:19. If you belong to this world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. So there he is, coming to extract us out of this life and bring us onto that eternal timeline. Listening in prayer. We hear God's voice when we pray. He speaks to us when we listen. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. The larger part of our work in prayer is in quieting ourselves to hear the voice of the Lord. In talking to a friend the other day about prayer, this was rich. This was not just the other day. This was many, many days ago. But he said that the core of prayer is listening. He quoted Henry Nouwen. We've all had conversations with a person at some point that you know wasn't listening. I definitely am culpable of that at times, to not listen. But the Lord wants us to be listening, not to be in that place of where we're not paying attention. So if we're like that in our prayer lives and we're only talking and never listening, we're never going to be in that place where Jesus was at and being able to listen to the Father and hearing his voice in our lives and seeing what he'd have us do. He says, very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. So listening is something that we have to take an active role in, and it requires making time to be quiet and to put away the other thoughts and distractions. And this is how we get to know who he is, and how we become known by him. So if we aren't listening, we won't be able to follow. And that's, I think, the main key in our Christian lives, so to be able to follow him, to be able to hear his voice and follow him in every way. What would you have me to do today? How would you have me approach this unsaved person at work? What would you have me do today? You know, as I go to Walmart, as I go to Ingles, as I go through the regular routine of day-to-day life, what would you have me to do? He says, those who are faithful in small things will be entrusted with greater things. I believe that Jesus, he wants to reveal great and wonderful things to us, that he has an amazing life for each of us to live, full of purpose and power. And when we're faithful to listen and put into the practice the things that he speaks, then he says, like this verse says, I know them and they follow me. So this is a new year, 2019. It just started. We've gone through a few weeks of it so far. And one of the reasons we want to have this fast is kind of to kick off this new year. We could have done it at the beginning of the month, but you know, sometimes it's so hard after the holidays to really start in on something like that. So we get the opportunity to get our feet, get rolling again in the new year. But as this year rolls on, we really want to be able to seek the Lord and hear his voice. What's your plan? What's your purpose? What do you want from me? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to move? How do you want me to engage in a deeper way with you? How do you want me to impact my neighbors? How do you want me to impact my friends? And so this is a time where we really can seek him. And as a, as we're consecrating ourselves to him in this time of fasting, I just encourage you to know that we as a body are doing something really, really powerful, and that the Lord's really going to move. And so let's just approach that with faith, that he's going to move, that he's going to do something that that surprises us. So we, you know, just let's ask the Lord for words of encouragement for someone while we're there. He wants to use us to minister to others, and he can give us words of wisdom that can bless someone. Lord, I pray that as we pray together, as we break into small groups today, that you would show us your love for one another, that we would truly love one another as you've loved us. And God, I pray that we would grow in our prayer lives, that this would be a marked time, this time of year in 2019, where we really move forward in our relationship with you. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be in your presence today. And just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.